with Bernard Hepton as Cardinal Albino Luciani, later Pope John Paul I, Hugh Dixon as Cardinal Vio, the Vatican Secretary of State, Bob Sherman as Cardinal Marcinkus, head of the Vatican Bank, Clifford Rose as Cardinal Karol Wojtyła, later Pope John Paul II, Bert Caesar as Cardinal Umberto, and Geoffrey Whitehead as Cardinal Iago. Death of an unimportant pope.
The gentleman is here.
Good. Send him in. I will let you know when we need coffee.
Yes, sir. Asked your name, they wouldn't tell me. Said I must simply address you as Your Eminence.
I am a guest in this house and in this country. It would be better if the story I have to tell remains anonymous.
You want to tell me a story?
If you wish to hear it, yes.
Always ready to hear a story, Your Eminence. Particularly when it's surrounded in a little mystery. Mind if I sit down?
Please. Please do.
I get a letter from this very prestigious address telling me that a cardinal who knows my work would like to meet me. An appointment is made. I arrive. I'm told I can't know the cardinal's name or which country he's from. Which writer wouldn't be fascinated? It's obviously a mystery story.
No, young man. It's a murder story.
Ah.
The story of the murder of a pope. A story almost 20 years old, but only in the last few years has it all become so clear to me. What it was all about. Why the murder had to happen. I believe if some people know the truth, my life too would be in peril.
If? Who knew?
We will come to that. But first, the story.
Do you mind if I take some notes?
That's fine. It started with a death, and it ended with a death, and between the two, there were just 60 days. The first death, that of Pope Paul VI, was anticipated. Preparations were well in hand by the time he breathed his last. Telephones immediately ringing all around the Vatican.
Oh, come on.
Banco Ambrosiano, can I help you?
Yes, put me through to Calvi quick as you can.
Who is this?
Archbishop Marcinkus, head of the Vatican Bank.
Oh, one moment, please, sir. I'll see if Mr. Calvi is free to take your call.
Archbishop?
Roberto, heard the news?
Heard?
Paul's turned toes up and gone to meet his maker.
Good
grief. Good friend. I'll miss him.
When did he die?
An hour ago.
Will it affect us?
And how? Every head of department now stands down, including me.
But you can't stand down, Paul. We can't let the deal go off the boil now. It'll be concluded within a fortnight.
Yes, don't you?
We're talking millions here and a very delicate political situation.
Yes,
if the Italian government discover we're using the Vatican Bank to save our clients a fortune in tax, we're all in real trouble.
You think I don't know that? I've got to be around to fend off any difficult questions.
What can you do?
Talk to Vio. He's in charge until conclave and next the new pope. See what his mood is. Maybe I'll get a bit noisy. In the meantime, maybe you can give Michele Sindona a call. Warn him there could be a snag.
I'll do that. Let me know what happens.
Sure thing. Bye, Roberto. Paul, my old chum, I'll never forgive you. What a time to choose to die.
Even as I say it, I can't really believe it could happen. Michele Sindona, who was finally declared the biggest crook in the history of Italy, was brought into the Vatican Bank.
Who brought him in?
Pope Paul VI. They were friends when he was Bishop of Milan. Having milked the bank of millions, Sindona moved on, leaving his place to another crook.
Roberto Calvi?
The same. Manager of the giant Banco Ambrosiano. Furthermore, Calvi and Sindona belong to a very powerful but illegal Masonic lodge known as P2, which was corrupt from top to bottom.
Uh-huh.
There wasn't a political party that wasn't tainted. The military was involved. The judiciary, every figure of power was sucked into this sewer of masonry. And though canon law forbids any Catholic to join the Masons on pain of excommunication, it was claimed many of the hierarchy inside the Vatican and Rome were active Freemasons.
Much interest?
Probably not. But Michele Sindona and Roberto Calvi definitely were. Licio Gelli, head of P2 was their master. When he shouted, Sindona and Calvi jumped.
And when Calvi shouted, Marchinkus jumped as well?
No, but he did see the sense in Calvi's schemes for saving taxes and making more and more money for Mother Church.
Could he have known, suspected, that Licio Geli and the P2 Masons were indirectly controlling some aspects of the Vatican finances?
Probably not. Licio was very much a sleeping partner, but never more than a telephone call away. The same as with Michele Sindona.
Mr. Sindona, please. Thank you. Michele? Roberto? We have a slight problem.
You heard?
Yes, the Secretary of State, Cardinal Vio, is now in charge. No, Marcinkus should by rights stand down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm talking to Licio as soon as I finish this conversation. See if he can put a little pressure to bear. Let's hope Vio's mind can be changed. Yes, I'm sure you're right, but only if he's on the list. I'll leave that with you.
The day after Paul's death was announced, we cardinals based in Rome gathered in the Sala Bologna for a get-together known as the General Congregation. There were 19 of us at the first meeting. As tradition demanded, the most senior cardinal, Confalonieri, took the chair, but the French Cardinal Vio took charge of the meeting.
Order! Order! Your Eminences, it really would make these proceedings move much more smoothly if we could contain ourselves to the matters in hand. Namely, the date the funeral shall take place, length of mourning, and start of conclave.
Cardinal Vio, as chairman of this meeting, I would like to say at the outset that I think it ridiculous that I and others here present should be refused a vote at conclave simply because we are over 80.
Yes, sir. The rules of conduct issued by our dear departed Pope Paul are specific. His Romano Pontifici Elegandi would be followed to the last letter.
But it will totally disrupt the conclave. You remove the balance of our votes from the proceedings and you let in the 34 third world cardinals His Holiness saw fit to elect during the last few years. Then you have a recipe for chaos. We must be given back the vote.
There will be no chaos. And the rule will remain in force until another pontiff sees fit to change it. Same with all the other rules on conclave, including absolute secrecy.
My friend Cardinal Umberto and I didn't take it personally, even though we were two of the third world cardinals. And nobody, of course, mentioned that by removing the old courier right-wing duffers and bringing in a new potential wild bunch of third-world lefties, this would probably ensure that the political thrust of Paul's rule could continue.
And what was that thrust?
A gentle rapprochement or understanding with the communists. This would no doubt go on, grow and gain strength. Some would say good news for the communists and some European cardinals, but an anathema to the courier cardinals. The drift to red couldn't be guaranteed, of course, but there again, what could be guaranteed at conclave, apart from rumor and scandal?
All cardinals worldwide have been informed of His Holiness' demise, and are even now flying in. All papal palaces and accommodation have been sealed as is required, and all cardinals in charge of departments are to resign forthwith.
Including you?
Except me. And Archbishop Paul Marcinkus.
And why isn't the head of the Vatican Bank standing down?
Step down? You're joking. I'm not in the habit of joking on such serious matters, Archbishop. It is instructed in the Elegandi that all holders of office except the Carmelengo should step down. If I do, then the Vatican Bank falls to pieces. There are hundreds of contracts in the process of being negotiated. Deals are being done every day.
I understand.
With respect, you can't just walk away and say, we're shutting up shop until we've got a new pope. That is not the way it works. Well, let's face it. Mother Church can't survive on prayer alone. If this latest deal goes down, it will cost us millions, and you have a new pope to answer to, and I'll be there to say, I told you so. The church needs me here. It needs the cash flow I generate. And there's a deal being done right now at this moment with Banco Ambrosiano and certain other parties. And it's enormously important to our finances that they are completed on time.
What sort of deal?
Cardinal, please. Do you really want to stand here talking about shares and bonds and corporate cash flows while you've got a conclave to organize?
No, that's quite true.
So do I stand down and lose us millions, or stay on and make another bunch of bucks?
You may retain your position until conclave is concluded and the chosen pope makes his new appointments.
Very sensible, Cardinal Vio. A good decision.
As there is a great deal of investment action at the moment with the Vatican Bank and Banco Ambrosiano and other unnamed parties, it seemed appropriate in the circumstances to let Archbishop Marcinkus remain in place as head of the bank.
After the disgraceful Sindona business, there are those who would say that Marcinkus should no longer be in charge at all.
With respect, Your Eminence, this is not the forum for that particular discussion. It is, in fact, a matter for the new pope. Moving on, I would now like to suggest a timetable for your approval. The funeral is to be in 5 days' time, on Saturday, August the 12th.
This was to be followed by 9 days of mourning before conclave was scheduled to meet on August the 25th.
How did you pass the time?
Oh, very pleasantly. I often met with my good friend Cardinal Umberto. He, too, was an exile from his homeland, like me, a refugee in Rome. We had a lot in common. He was also a very good source of information and scandal, knowing all the latest on the Papabile.
Pardon?
Papabile means those most likely to be chosen as Pope. The whole industry has grown up over the years in the art of coming up with the name of the Pope before deliberations in conclave even begin.
But why should that be of such major interest?
For a start, politically, the papacy is an immensely important office. It is widely known that Americans and the Russians spend fortunes and use the most sophisticated equipment to try to discover who will be elected pope.
Yes, but why?
Well, so they can be prepared for the worst. Or the best, depending on the final outcome. If he was pro-communist, the Reds would be gleeful, the Americans fearful. If anti-communist, the other way around, the Americans would be jumping up and down for joy. Whereas the press and the radio reporters were simply hungry for tidbits of inside information, so they grabbed any available cardinal or knowledgeable priest and picked their brains desperate to get a good story. I wanted to get on the gravy train as well. A young researcher called Jacqueline de Vere had invited me to dinner to pick my brains, and Umberto was to be my meal ticket. So, Umbo, time to sing for your supper. Who is in with the greatest chance?
Okay, here we go. Hmm. The odds, according to the bookmakers, are Siri as firm favorite, 3-1. Hmm. Then neck and neck, they've got Baggio and Vio, 4-1. Hmm. Followed by Benelli, Vio second in command, who is 7-1.
All Italian.
But of course. Hmm. And Curiel favorites to a man. However, after the first bunch, they get a little more daring.
Oh, really?
They have Wojtyła and Koenig, 8-1. Oh. While Hume from England is a rank outsider.
Any surprises you've picked up?
Yes, Benelli. He's on the list, but it's rumored he's no longer Papabile and is playing the kingmaker instead.
And who does he propose will be king?
Albino Luciani, the patriarch of Venice.
Albino? Surely not.
You know him?
Well, I've met him a couple of times at various gatherings. He's much too nice and gentle to be Pope, not halfway tough enough.
You could be right. Have you read his book?
Illustrissimi. Yes.
A great idea. Talking over your theoretical worries with long-dead historical figures.
Quiet. Any other choice?
Cardinal Sebastiano Baggio.
Oh.
He comes surrounded by a delicious bit of gossip, mm-hmm. which may do him good or harm, depending which camp you're in.
Oh, what's he been up to?
He dared to venture to Chicago.
To Codyland?
Yep. Pope Paul sent him to tell John Patrick Cody he had better resign forthwith.
Or else. And Baggio went?
Yes.
Now there's a brave man.
What? You are to resign.
How dare he even suggest such a thing? Paul has had more money from me than the rest of the cardinals put together.
The Holy Father is deeply displeased with you.
Displeased?
We have it all, Cardinal Cody. There are hundreds of letters of complaint about you from your nuns and priests of your parish.
Bunch of commies, a lot of them.
We know you have not only been selling schools and turning priests and nuns out of their properties without warning, but we also know you have been expelling black children from schools in your diocese for no reason.
They're not Catholics, goddammit. Why should I pay good money to educate black kids in my school?
We also know about your mistress.
Helen Wilson is not my mistress. Helen Wilson is my cousin.
You gave her thousands of dollars to buy a new home in Florida. Took out insurance on your life that she will benefit from. Falsified bookkeeping to get her a bigger pension.
I've had enough of this. Get out of here.
You have put church insurance business in the way of her son, David.
Get out. You hear me, you Italian bum? You get out or I'll throw you out.
You have refused point blank to account for the income in your diocese assessed at over $100 million a year.
I warned you. You can tell Paul there's no way I resign. Not till hell freezes over.
must resign, Cardinal Cody. Must resign. My God, is all that true?
Who knows? Baggio wasn't talking and the Pope couldn't. Cody had certainly been a thorn in his flesh and he wanted him out of office. But whether Baggio made the journey, I don't know. Gossip at the time felt he did. What we do know is that Chicago was a Catholic disaster area, with Cody running it like a personal fiefdom.
But how does Cody tie in with the rest of your story?
First, he was a great friend of his fellow Chicagoan Archbishop Paul Marcinkus. Second, it was openly whispered that Cody was using the Vatican Bank as a conduit to get millions of dollars to the Polish underground.
Why?
Well, the Poles were Cody's people. He bled for them, suffering under the tyrant's yoke. If he could get enough money to them, maybe it would bring the communists down. He was obsessed with it. Anything to destroy the Red Menace.
What happened to him?
Nothing. Cody was safe. The Pope died before he could take further action. Any business on the table, when the Pope dies, go straight into the archive unless the next Pope chooses to take an interest.
I see.
So, of course, Cody, having arrived in Rome, was awaiting the outcome of the conclave with very keen interest.
Archbishop Marcinkus, a word, please.
What's the whisper in the Vatican corridor? Who gets the job?
The Curial Cardinals have agreed that Siri is the one who won't rock the boat. Now, there's a firm push to get them all behind him before the first vote.
Then he's our man. Mm-hmm. I'll get the rest of the Americans behind him as well. Where are the dangers?
Manila and Felici.
What?
Yeah, they've both been nosing around, making inquiries. I think they'd have me out. Manila is Papabile, but is rumored to favor Albino Luciani. It would be a disaster. He's never forgiven me for selling the People's Bank in Venice to Roberto Calvi.
Often did I warn you, be careful who you crap on the way up.
Because you'll meet them on the way down, yeah. Well, let's just wait and see. The good news is whoever gets the gong, it'll be a year before they stand me down. Plenty enough time to put the house in order before the auditors move in.
You're certain it'll be a year?
Guaranteed. Any quicker and would set bells ringing and damage the bank standing in the marketplace. Leo's bound to point that out to whoever gets in the hot seat. But whatever happens, we're in the clear for 12 months.
Good. If the situation changes, I need to know.
You will, within the hour.
The funeral having taken place and the 9 days of mourning having passed, it was almost time to go into conclave. But first, I had my date with a delightful young English researcher, Jacqueline de Vere.
It was very kind of you to see me, Your Eminence.
How could I allow myself to be the only Third World Cardinal who hasn't spoken with the charming Miss de Vere?
Oh, you've heard. Please, sit down.
Indeed. You have become quite a talking point, particularly among the Italians. They're feeling very left out.
Oh, my associate Richard and I made a decision at the outset that he would meet with the Italians and I would handle everybody else, Third World and European Cardinals. It was only we could manage to talk to you all in the short time available.
Your order?
Just this soup and a pasta, please.
And the same for me, please.
And a bottle of your best red.
Yes, ma'am. So, tell me, how well are you doing?
Oh, great. We've a very sophisticated program, and all the details being fed into the computer as it's collected. Everybody so far has been enormously helpful and open.
Who is the information for?
Well, we're subcontracted to some American company, but nobody's seeing who they are. But it's got to be big. We're costing a fortune.
CIA?
No. They'll have their own computers to work it out. Could be using us to confirm what they find, of course. Though I say it myself, we're very good.
So, tomorrow we move into conclave, and as we go in, you have to tell your client who will be the next pope before we decide.
I'll let my company know. They inform the client. It's very exciting. We're pretty sure we know the answer already. Would you like to know who we think it'll be and give your opinion on our judgment?
No. No, thank you, my dear. It might color my judgment somewhat, and we can't have that, not before conclave.
Oh, of course. Sorry.
I'll tell you what. Write the name down and put it in an envelope. I'll open it after the voting has finished. If you get it right, I'll take you out to dinner.
And if I get it wrong, my firm can take you out again.
Sounds an excellent bargain. I wonder how many others are engaged in trying to second-guess the result.
Why did you presume it was the CIA?
Always a natural suspicion for a South American cardinal. They're usually behind every chicanery.
As are the KGB.
As it turned out, Both were equally represented in the bugging stakes.
We have carried out the searches requested, Your Eminence.
And?
The whole area has been bugged.
Listening devices?
Yes.
How many have been found?
Over here, please.
9 so far.
But who would install these things?
So far, it's running neck and neck. 4 of the bugs are definitely Soviet and 4 definitely American. This one, we can't be sure of.
And they've been freshly planted?
Some. Others, like this, could have been here for years.
And they're spread throughout this whole area where conclave will take place?
Yes, Your Eminence. Sleeping area, bathrooms, a Sistine Chapel, everywhere.
Well, there is no other solution. We must move into the 20th century, Mr. Chipman. The technicians and their detectors must stay in the area and make constant sweeps until the new pope is declared and conclave concluded.
Very good, Your Eminence. It shall be arranged.
I swear to observe the oath of this conclave and touch these gospels in confirmation of this oath.
I swear to observe the oath of this conclave and touch these gospels in confirmation of this oath.
Fellow cardinals, now that you have all sworn the conclave oath, it is time to go to ourselves to rest, pray, and prepare ourselves for the task ahead. The first vote will take place tomorrow morning after mass and breakfast. We congregate here at 8:30. May the Lord God watch over us all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A long session.
And more to come, unless it's exclamatory.
You really think we could all stand up and shout with one voice exactly the same name?
We might.
According to the bookmakers, no chance. We'll be voting it.
Interesting how the groups are already forming. See over there, Felici and Benelli deep in conversation with Pellegrino.
Plotting for an Italian victory, no doubt.
Of course, but as they're opposed to Siri, I wonder who their man will be.
No, I do not think it will be an exclamatory victory. There's not a strong enough candidate, and there are too many wild cards. It will go to a vote. What we must do is vote solidly for Albino Luciani from the start, so he has a good bedrock to build on for the second and third round.
Cardinal Benelli, you speak wisely, but there is a lot of word of mouth for Siri, and there has been an enormous amount of canvassing by the old guard on his behalf. He is a safe, competent manager and won't rock the curio boat. Wouldn't he be a good bet?
But that would leave Cody and Marchinkus exactly where they are. That must not happen. They have to be exposed. Exactly. Believe me. Siri will fade after the second or third vote.
Yes.
Once the Third World and the European cardinals come to their senses, they'll be behind Albino Luciani to a man.
Iago, we are surrounded by plotting cardinals. Over there, Wojtyła, Wyszynski, Koenig, Willy Brandt, all heads together.
Surely they can't be hoping to put forward a European candidate.
First round, maybe. Mind you, I can't see 400 odd years of Italian papal rule coming to an end. There would be as much chance of you or I getting the job.
Which there is, of course, no chance. Too young, too inexperienced.
And in my case, too black.
Ah, Cardinal Luciani heading purposefully in our direction.
Iago, I have been looking for you. I have a little present.
Good to see you again. This is my good friend, Cardinal Umberto.
Your Eminence.
I have heard good things of you, Your Eminence, and of your exemplary work while in Rome. For you both, a copy of my book, Illustrissimi.
We spoke of it only yesterday. We both enjoyed it.
We did indeed.
Good. We'll keep the copy anyway. Otherwise, I shall have to take them all the way back to Venice. And I'm not sure my creaking old jalopy will take the weight of the return journey.
We hear your name mentioned as Papabile. How do you feel about that, Albino?
Oh. May God have mercy on me. Never in 1,000 years. I have much too much to attend to in my own poor parish. And in these troublesome times, Mother Church is in need of a much wiser head than mine. Remember the rules of conclave? The you would have to stand before me and say, do you accept? I, of course, will simply say, much too busy.
I remember on hearing Luciani laugh, Cody turned to look in our direction. He was staring at Albino with not fear, but worry. Yes, worry. And then I realized why. He knew that when Albino was Patriarch of Venice, he had crossed swords very badly with Archbishop Marcinkus. And if ever Albino became Pope, Marcinkus was likely to be out on his ear, which would not be good news for Cody and his Polish pals. Marcinkus had forgotten the golden rule. Be careful who you cross on the way up. The deal he struck with Roberto Calvi in 1972, whereby Calvi's Banco Ambrosiano gained a controlling interest in the Banco Catholic del Veneto in Venice, was to Albino Luciani a stab in the back that he could not forgive. For him, you see, it symbolized the financial corruption at the heart of the church. At that time, he had even taken his outrage direct to the Vatican.
Yes, I could arrange a short audience with His Holiness, but it will do no good.
Why?
He already knows what is going on, Albino.
Oh, but you can't. He would never allow the church's own bank in Venice to be sold. If he's
Roberto
told...
Roberto Calvi was here last week. I arranged the appointment myself on the Pope's instructions. He thanked Calvi for his help in dealing with the Vatican's finance.
Well, does Vio know what's going on? Does he know that my people's bank has been swallowed up by men with no interest in the welfare of our flock, and that they are allegedly doing it in the name of Mother Church?
Everybody knows. But nobody is doing anything.
But why, Cardinal Benelli? What is happening is sinful. It cries out for condemnation.
As far as His Holiness is concerned, Marcinkus can do no wrong. He is, after all, with Calvi's guidance, making a fortune for the church. And let's face it, with the cost of the Michaelis in Dona debacle, we need it.
Oh, how much did the church lose?
Rumor says just over $76 million.
Oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
Exactly. But it is a fact of life. Until Paul passes on, Marcinkus stays. Then, whoever is the next pope must make sure he goes. Cardinal Felice agrees with me.
Let us make sure it is one of you in the chair, and you both may do the deed with my blessing. Forget the appointment with His Holiness. I'll tackle Marcinkus direct.
No, no, no. The deal is done. There's nothing I can do about
it. But my people are suffering. Parishes are going to go bankrupt. You must do something.
How often must I say there's nothing I can do? Now, my job here is to run a very large bank as efficiently as I can, making as much profit as I can for Mother Church. I am not interested in your purely local financial difficulties. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm very busy.
You work on the advice of your close associate, Roberto Calvi.
Yes.
Roberto Calvi, president of Banco Ambrosiano, the bank to whom you sold our people's bank in Venice.
It was a good deal.
For whom, Archbishop Marcinkus? For whom?
Father, there's the door. Go through it. You do your job, I'll do mine. You look after your people, and I'll look after the church's money.
Remember what Jesus thought of the moneylenders in the temple? How he turned their tables over?
He could afford to turn their tables over. Jesus didn't have the Roman Catholic Church to fund. I do.
We will meet again.
I doubt it.
Did Cody know about Marcinkus' dealings with Calvi as well?
Finally, everybody knew. But Benelli had been right. Nothing would happen while the old pope was still in office. Now he was dead. Many of us were praying for a change. Albino Luciani could perhaps bring that change. It was Saturday morning at about 9 when the first conclave ballot took place.
The voting papers having been collected and counted in the prescribed manner, I would now call upon Cardinal Taro Wojtyła to read the result of the first ballot.
Cardinal Siri, 27 votes. Cardinal Luciani, 21 votes. Cardinal...
I was watching Cody's face as Cardinal Wojtyła read the result. He was obviously pleased that Siri was at the forefront. While Siri had personally obstructed Pope Paul at every turn, he was a curial cardinal of the old school. Under him, Cody knew nothing would change. Both Cody and Marcinkus would be safe. The second vote followed on immediately.
Cardinal Siri, 30 votes. Cardinal Luciani, 27 votes.
Benelli was pleased to be out of the running and was now canvassing furiously for Albino Luciani. He called Umberto and me at the lunch break.
I am advising all third world and European cardinals to think of the possibility of Albino Luciani taking on the heavy burden of Pope. He certainly doesn't want it. I know for a fact he's giving his own vote to a candidate from the third world. However, if the choice is Albino or Siri, God forgive me for saying it, but that is no choice. I know that Albino will be praying at this moment that it doesn't happen. I want you two to join me in praying that it does.
The voting papers having been collected and counted in the prescribed manner,
I would now call upon Cardinal Caravaggiola to read the results of the third ballot.
Cardinal Luciani, 71 votes. Cardinal Siri, 13 votes.
As Wojtyła continued to read the names of the other 18 cardinals, there was an excited whispering throughout the room. Albino was just 4 votes short of victory. We were about to have a new pope. Cody's face was white with shock. For him, this spelled disaster. Those on either side of Albino gripped his arm to give him strength. The atmosphere was electric. The next vote could be the end of conclave and the start of a new era for the church.
Cardinal Luciani, 99 votes.
Cardinal Albino Luciani, you have been elected by your fellow cardinals to be supreme pontiff. Do you accept?
Oh, God. Why have you laid this burden on me? I accept.
And by what name do you wish to be called?
John Paul the First. It was then I opened the envelope given to me by Jacqueline DeVere. It predicted that Cardinal Albino Luciani would be elected Pope by between 85 to 105 votes. The remaining votes would be for Cardinal Siri. But it did not predict that 33 days later, Albino Luciani would be dead.
How was the new pope received by the people?
Initially, there was soon a sense that Pope John the 23rd was walking the world once more. The new pope's smile instantly won everyone over. After the last 2 years of Paul, he was a ray of sunshine. But soon, stories of his clashes with the old Curial Guard and with Leo, whom he had retained as Secretary of State, started circulating.
I repeat, Cardinal, there will be no coronation. There will only be a simple ceremony of dedication.
But there must be a coronation so the people can see you crowned.
There will be no crown. No diamonds, pearls, rubies, sapphires, no jewels, no feathers, no golden robes, none of it. I want none of the trappings. Let my people see from the outset I am a simple pope.
Forgive me for saying so, Your Holiness, but you're going to look awfully dull when the 4 Swiss guards lift you high on their shoulders and carry you around the square.
There will be no Swiss guards. I will be walking up the central stairs unaccompanied, except for music. No pomp whatsoever.
You can't do this. People will have traveled days to be present. They expect a spectacular event.
Then they will be disappointed.
You're talking about destroying 1,000 years of tradition here.
Exactly.
Trouble was, having won that battle with the Curia ensured 1,000 more battles over 1,000 more petty details would soon ensue. Rio had no hesitation in quibbling over every slightest change John Paul would make.
Why was it such a battlefield so suddenly?
Well, usually a new pope will surround himself with his court, people from his own city, bring them to Rome and let them fill all the important positions. John Paul couldn't do that.
Why not?
Simple. He didn't have a court. He never developed one. Wasn't his style. He only invited his secretary, Lorenzi, Sister Vincenza, and the 3 other nuns who had worked under her to come and join him. And he retained the Irishman, Father McGee, who had been Pope Paul's secretary. Additionally, he was advised by his friend Cardinal Benelli, who was number 2 to Vio, and Cardinal Felici, who also conveniently worked in the Vatican. They were the only ones he could discuss his deep concerns with.
I would have expected certain heads to have rolled by now, Your Holiness.
Initially, I decided to simply keep with tradition, reinstating all the heads of department who stepped down during conclave, as is usual, to get business speedily moving along again, for a transitional period.
A transitional period?
Yes, in some cases for a very transitional period.
Oh.
We know there is corruption, both spiritual and financial, at the very core of Mother Church, and it must be eviscerated. Those in our midst who are tainted and sullied by its stench believe that tradition will protect them for a time. They are wrong, Cardinal Benelli. They expect to remain in office for at least a year. In fact, within 3 weeks, I will put the most grievous changes in hand so God will once again rule here, and not Mammon. They are all out of office at the latest by the 30th September. Cardinal Vio, how nice of you to join us.
Sorry. I thought you would be alone this time.
No, at this time I shall usually be taking dinner with friends. You must join me one evening.
Yes, I'll do that.
Was it something urgent?
No. Nothing that won't wait until tomorrow. Good night, Your Holiness.
Good night.
Cardinals.
Good night.
Sorry to have burst in on.
How much did he hear?
It is of no import. I think on the whole, everybody who is going to go probably already knows who they are. The only thing Vio could have overheard was the date. And the speed of it will no doubt surprise him. But what can he do?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I repeat, everyone's saying just a few weeks.
Are you sure?
30th of September, guaranteed.
Oh, thanks for that. Who do you hear it from?
Vio. Mm. He knows he's on the Pope's list, and he's screaming it all around the corridors of the Curia. How dare he break tradition? It must be a year at least.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Okay, thanks again. I owe you one.
Hello?
Roberto, Paul, the world's about to fall in. We have just 3 weeks to get the books back in order.
3 weeks? But that's impossible. I haven't got anywhere near enough liquid.
And we could be facing a trial.
What's happened?
The new boy's breaking the unwritten rules. He's going to pull the plug on me September 30th at the latest. Leo probably goes too. Cody, definitely. I've got to ring him and warn him so he can close down the shutters and cover himself.
I'll talk to my friend, Richard Jenny. I've paid the Masons enough. Time I called in a favor or two.
Give me Careless Indona a ring as well. He owes us a fortune. If we had it until in the next few days, we could probably cover the shortfall.
You made your calls. I'll make mine and we'll talk later.
Good.
Don't forget, 3 weeks is a long time in banking.
September 30th.
Jeez. I thought it was up to a year.
So did I. Revenge is obviously sweet.
Can you cover all trace of the cash flow to our Polish friends?
Well, that's covered. But the rest is not so easy. On behalf of the bank, I've allowed Calvi to run a massive funding deficit, supported by a fairly worthless paper mountain.
What's he going to do about it?
Well, he's going to talk to Michaela Sandona for one. He owes us plenty.
No good. His luck ran out. He's in custody in New York.
What?
Anything else Calvi can do?
Well, he's going to talk to Leo Jelly. Are you there? Cody. Cody, can you hear me?
Look, why not get some sleep, Paul? See what develops.
Sleep? How can I sleep with this hanging over me?
He talks to Leo Jelly. Relax. 3 weeks is a long time. The P2 Masonic Group can bring pressure to bear in the strangest of circles. Their links extend worldwide. So who knows what might happen? Sleep. Remember, my friend, God works in mysterious ways.
He most certainly does. The day after these conversations were rumored to have taken place, I was covering for Umberto in one of the confessionals in St. Peter's. It was quiet, the holiday season ending, not many tourists around. After a while, a man came into the confessional. When he spoke, he was obviously a son of Rome, not a tourist.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's a long time since my last confession.
Yes, my son?
I'm not really here to make a confession, Father.
Then why are you here? My son?
They're planning to kill the Pope, Father.
What?
There's a plot to kill the Pope.
But then I've got what?
I don't know.
Then how do you know he's in danger?
I was offered the job.
You?
Yes. Don't ask why they should ask me, Father, but... It's okay, I've done bad things, but... He is my Pope, John Paolo.
Who are these people? Why should they want him dead?
It's not personal with them, Father. They're the middlemen. You never see the actual client.
How will they do it? In the name of God, you have to tell me.
It depends on who picks up the contract. There's only one important thing. It must appear an accident. You know, natural causes. So guns are out. Knives too.
Is this something you yourself have done? It's important, I know, so I can judge the truth of what you are saying. Have you done this before?
Yes, Father.
God forbid I should ask the question, but I must. If you were doing it, how would you kill him to make it look like an accident?
Usually a couple of ways. Long flight of stairs is the first. He'd fall down and appear to have smashed his head on the floor. I'd have smashed it before he fell, or just after he landed.
Holy Mother.
Second, a bath and an electrical fault is always pretty good. Clean, quick, not too noisy. Trouble with both of these, he's never alone. Always someone at his elbow. That would be the problem, getting him alone. So it has to be his bedroom.
So how would you get into the building where his apartment is?
It's too easy. Money are always open, Vatican doors. They wouldn't have to know what I was doing and wouldn't dare say a word after.
But how would you find the bedroom?
We know it already. Everyone in Rome does. Parents even bring their kids to work at night. Chances are it'll be either smothering or poison. What will he do, Father? Can you warn him?
No. You can't just walk in and talk to him. It doesn't work like that.
But you have to do something. These men need business. It's their job. This doesn't happen. They don't get paid. You must do something.
I'll talk to the head of security.
And didn't he ask for money?
No, Ombo.
So, it's not just a clever new scandal. I've got to be honest. I think it's a sick joke.
It was no joke. It was real. I swear it. He was near to tears in the end. He didn't want to take confession. Said he hadn't been inside a church for years. He was only there to deliver the message. I finally talked him into taking the sacrament, and I wished I hadn't.
How much can you tell me?
His usual fee for a hit is 10,000 American dollars. He has collected the fee 8 times in the last 3 years. This job was worth $100,000. Umberto, these men are real. And he's just one of many killers for hire.
Matthew?
Didn't say. But he is a frightening man, and they frighten him. I felt if they knew he was talking, he wouldn't be around too long. And one other thing, it has to be done by the end of the month, or there is no payday.
14 days.
Hmm.
If you believe it's real, Iago, then there's only one thing to do. You must go to see Shivan, the head of security. Don't come straight out with it. Get there gently. Test the water. Does he know if John Paul is in any danger, that sort of thing? And when you are sure he doesn't know, tell him what you have told me with the same conviction, and wheels will surely roll.
We have to face facts. His Holiness has made himself a major security risk, Cardinal Iago. Time and again, I have had no less than the Secretary of State himself talk to him, read him the riot act, but it does no good. You know he goes for unaccompanied strolls, even waves good night every evening to the police patrolling St. Peter's Square.
Surely that's rather an endearing habit, Mr. Shiba.
Yes, especially for a madman with a Kalashnikov rifle.
But why kill him?
They don't murder the man. They murder the position. They demonstrate their power by killing those that have a part in governing the destiny of the world. President Kennedy, Martin Luther King being prime examples.
Time perhaps to tell you the true reason for my visit.
Please come in. It's about the Pope's safety, isn't it?
Yes.
Then I will tell you what you're about to tell me. You had a phone call saying there is a plot to kill the Pope. Yes?
No. I heard it in the confessional.
Well, that at least has the merit of originality. So far, there have been 4 warning calls today, all anonymous.
Any giving detail of how it was to be done?
No, just saying there is a rumor on the street that he's going to be killed soon. You know more. Cardinal Iago.
It will be done before the end of September. And it will be in his bedroom. It must look like an accident. And the fee for doing it is 100,000 American dollars.
How will he die?
Smothered or poisoned.
You must come with me to see Cardinal Vio now. Finally, he might see sense of putting an armed guard on the Pope's door. Mr. Chiban, there is no point talking about it. His Holiness is adamant. He will have no guards, with or without guns, in the Papal apartment. But, Your Eminence, you must insist.
Insist. You know him. You have seen how stubborn and pig-headed he can be.
Let us continue this conversation after Cardinal Iago has left us. I'm sure he has much better things to do with his time. Cardinal, many thanks for bringing this information to us.
And the Pope will hear of this?
I will discuss that with Mr. Chibon.
I think it is important he should be forewarned.
So he can feel frightened every time he takes a sip of coffee. Lies fearful in his bed each night, afraid to fall asleep. In case he is smothered to death. Forgive me. His Holiness is proving very difficult to protect. He doesn't believe he is vulnerable.
The man who warned me is a contract killer. Although he refused, he assures me at the price someone will take it. His Holiness must be told.
We will decide what is best. Mr. Chibon and I will decide. Do you think they did warn him?
I doubt it. Vio could have been right. It might have unnerved him. In the end, there was no need. Within a few days, it was confirmed just how vulnerable he was.
What happened?
He was having a meeting with the Russian Orthodox Archbishop of Leningrad. Coffee was sent for. They were chatting happily. Nikodim was a hairy bear of a man, and he laughed a lot.
Good. That would be our coffee. Come.
Would you like me to pour, little father?
No, leave it to me, Vincenzo. Thank you very much. No, Archbishop. Sugar, milk.
I don't thank you. Just as it comes. And he swore it was true.
Delicious, it looks. Delicious, yes? Archbishop Nicodemus, what is it? I'll get him.
Help! Help! We need help here!
By the time help arrived, it was too late. Nicodemus was dead. I suddenly had a terrible feeling that it wasn't just in the bedroom. John Paul was in danger.
What did you do?
I rang Chibon. He told me they were doing all they could. The same day, I had a visitor at my apartment. Jackie ended here. She apologized for coming uninvited, but said she didn't know any other cardinal in Rome she could really trust. Trust?
Yes. Something strange is going on. I don't know who's involved.
Involved in what?
I think there's some sort of plot against the Pope.
Why do you think that?
Our project was never finished.
Project?
To discover who will be Pope.
That's ridiculous.
The question became, who would be the next Pope if anything went wrong?
Wrong?
If by any chance he should die.
Why should he die?
Because if our prediction is right, it turns out the next Pope would prove to be the greatest coup in American political history. He would truly shape the world. It would be Cardinal...
No. Don't tell me.
But I have to tell someone. They've got to be warned. I think John Paul is in mortal danger. The fact that his successor will be a Pope from a communist country means the whole political thrust... You already know, don't you? You know he's going to die.
I know. He's been threatened, yes. And I warn them, but it does no good. They say there is nothing they can do. He refuses to have a guard in his room.
Well, I tried. I prepared two envelopes for you. If it does come to a second conclave, you may find them of interest. The first simply says name. The second says conclusion and prediction. If he does die, after the next conclave, when you know who's elected, open the first. If we've got it wrong, you can throw the second letter away. But if we're right, as I know we will be, open it. It explains how we came to our conclusion and contains a prediction of what will happen if that particular cardinal is elected Pope. You'll probably laugh, because it's so absurd what our computer forecast will happen. But in 15 to 20 years, we believe it will all be fact. And perhaps then you can find somebody who just might be prepared to do something about it.
Then she left. And from that moment, I started having nightmares. Always the same. The Holy Father saying a cheery good night to his secretaries.
Father Lorenzi, Father McGee, many thanks for your company this evening and your helpful discussion over the matter in hand.
Our pleasure, Your Holiness.
It most surely was. Good night.
Good night.
Dr. Finchin, sir, and thank you for the lovely meal.
Oh, it was just a plain sort of an affair, but I'm glad you enjoyed it, little father. Night-night.
Good night. I'll see him leave the dining room, go along the hallway to his bedroom, open the door, close it behind him. Then slowly he would cross to the window, look down onto Vatican Square, catch the eye of the policeman on duty, smile at them, wave, and be pleased when they smiled back in acknowledgement. Then cross to the predier under the picture of the Blessed Virgin holding the baby Jesus, and kneel to pray for peace in the world a little while.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Then he would move to the other side of the room, undress, and get into bed. And finally, before settling to read the paper he had with him, picking up the little bottle of medicine from the dressing table at the side of the bed, the medication for his known acidity, sipping from it. And each night, I dreamt that the medicine had been laced with digitalis or some other substance, and that Albino died an excruciating and lonely death, trying to call for help, but unable to do so. Then, during the night of September the 28th, my nightmare became reality.
Oh. Oh. Little father, you haven't collected your morning coffee yet. It's going cold. Little father, do you hear me? Are you there? What on earth is going on? Never once in 25 years. Oh, I have to do it. I have to go in. Oh, father. Little father, why aren't you up yet? Oh, 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 Father McGee, Father Laurenti, come quickly, little father is not breathing. Oh, Father McGee, Father Laurenti.
It was said his face was contorted and twisted with pain, his eyes wide and staring, papers scattered all over his chest and the floor. It was later announced that McGee had found him. But that proved to be a lie.
Colonel Vio. The Pope's bedroom. The Holy Father is dead. Father Lorenzi and Sister Vincenza. No, no one else. Yes, I'll find the names from the last time and call them. Yes. Pardon? I tidied them up. Yes. We have to stay here till Carlo Vio arrives. No one else is to enter the room. We have some calls to make, Father Lorenzi.
I'm sorry. I just couldn't make any calls.
Oh, that's all right. I'll do it.
The papers?
Should I keep them for the files?
You will hand them to me now. You know what they say?
Yes.
I also know, Cardinal Beale. I typed them. As requested by His Holiness, your name is there at the very top, along with the Cardinals Cody and Majinkas. You are all to step down.
Enough. You will both discuss this matter with nobody. It is for the next Pope to deal with. You understand?
Yes, Your Eminence.
Father Lorenzi?
Yes, Your Eminence.
Good. In the press statement, we will say you found him, Father McGee.
But I found him, Your Eminence.
It is not appropriate that you should find him. The world does not need to know, sister, that you had the temerity to open the Holy Father's bedroom door.
He collected his coffee from the tray outside the door. I know.
When you finish here today, you will return to the mother house of your order. The other three nuns of the papal apartment shall do likewise.
Your Eminence, I have served him all my life. The funeral...
You will not be there. You will not be in Rome. Now go. And never speak of this to anyone. After we have carried out the necessary formalities this morning, you too may leave, Father Lorenzi. With the death of Pope John Paul I, your work in Rome is also finished.
To be honest, Cardinal Vio, knowing little of what goes on in this desperate of a place, I shall not be sad to see the back of it.
Father McGee?
Yes, Your Eminence.
It will be announced that you were the first to find the Holy Father. He died reading The Imitation of Christ.
I find it very difficult to lie, Your Eminence.
You won't have to. It's Cardinal Paletti's task to give out the statement and take any questions.
Wouldn't it be better to tell the truth?
Are you mad? The Pope was found dead in bed by a woman.
She's not a woman. She's a 75-year-old nun.
Trust me, Father McGee. The press will have a field day if they got hold of it. Is that what you want to do to his memory?
Very well. You may say I found him.
Reading The Imitation of Christ.
Yes, reading The Imitation of Christ. And what mention will be made of the other papers?
What other papers?
What indeed? Those incriminating papers never surfaced again. No doubt buried somewhere deep in the archive. If my informant tells me true, and I have no reason to doubt his word, they were dynamite. Confirmation that Cody would be made to stand down as Cardinal of Chicago, that Marcinkus would lose control of the Vatican Bank, so that all the further financial disasters could be averted. Leo was suspected of being a Mason, and under the influence of Licio Gelli and the T2 Masonic Lodge, he was to be retired forthwith and put out to pasture somewhere a long way from Rome. Also, anyone in the Vatican named as a Freemason was to stand down.
How many still accused?
Dozens, including some cardinals.
But do you believe this provided a strong enough motive to have murdered him?
In some cases, yes.
Right? Well, that will certainly prove a fine mystery to solve, even after so many years.
Please, listen. If Jacqueline Devere was right, none of what we have heard so far was the reason why he was murdered.
I see. So what was the reason?
It wasn't personal. It was purely political. And given time, I will come to it a little later in our story.
Are you all right?
Fine. The morning of his death, the phone lines were soon busy once more.
Don't call me at this time. It's not 6 o'clock.
I've just been working by an early morning call, too. A friend of mine thought you should enjoy the good news as well.
Good news?
Yes, our troubles are behind us.
Well, how come?
Sadly, he has suffered a massive heart attack and is dead.
Well, what are you talking about? That's impossible. The man's as fit as I am.
These things happen, Paul.
I better ring Vio.
No, that wouldn't be very wise. The death hasn't been announced yet.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. He's been murdered.
Calvi just rang and told me.
Great news. You've made my day. No doubt they'll call and tell me officially.
I don't like this.
Hey, come on, Paul. This is truly great news. We're both safe from facing a bucket full of crap, and you've got at least an extra month to sort out the paperwork. Put the bank in order. Who knows? If we get a decent pope in place of this last one, you might even make cardinal for all the hard work you've done. Cheer up. Stop being so doleful. The only worry is that Calvin got it wrong and he's still alive. But somehow I doubt it.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. John Paul the First, are you dead? John Paul the First, are you dead? John Paul I, are you dead? Pope John Paul I is truly dead. The Pope is truly dead, and there is work to be done. Cardinal Paletti, you will do the broadcast.
Yes, Your Eminence. May I double-check? He was found by Father John McGee and was reading The Imitation of Christ.
Correct. The cause of death was confirmed by his physician, Dr. Buzzanetti, as a massive heart attack. So you say, after retiring to his room and saying his prayers, Pope John Paul I died of a massive heart attack sometime during the evening or early morning of the 28th or 29th of September, 1978.
Very good, Your Eminence.
Come, gentlemen, there is work to be done. No use dawdling here.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Cardinal Leo.
Yes, Cardinal Benelli?
I believe His Holiness was studying
certain papers last night which he intended to give me today. I wondered if you'd seen them.
There were no papers.
But
there were no papers.
When the news broke that John Paul had died, it was catastrophic. As if there had been an explosion in the city. It seemed the whole of Rome was walking around in a daze. People in their thousands came to St. Peter's Square and just stood there. Many in tears. I felt a strange sense of guilt, as if somehow I should have done more.
But, my dear friend, what could you have done?
I could have told him about Jack Interdear. A research program being conducted into who would replace him before he even died.
They would have thought you were nuts or paranoiac. You'd approach them twice with warnings.
I just feel...
I know. I know. We all do.
Oh, no.
Forget all thoughts of murder. It's been on the radio. Heart attack.
Do you believe that? After what I was told in the confessional?
I can't see the point in believing anything else. What's to be gained? There's nothing I can do about it. Nothing you could do about it.
One thing we can do is make sure that there is an autopsy.
We could do that, yes. I'll happily vote for that.
Good. The first general congregation will be underway in an hour. We'll introduce the subject then.
Cardinal Beale.
Your Eminences, His Secretary Father McGee found His Holiness. The light was still on in the bedroom. The police in St. Peter's Square say it had been on all night. He was sitting up in bed as if reading. The book was The Imitation of Christ. His doctor informs me he died instantly of a massive heart attack. I suggest the funeral should take place next Wednesday, October the 4th.
Before that, I think it would be fitting, in the face of the deplorable amount of rumour that is circulating, suggesting that His Holiness may have been poisoned, that an autopsy should be held immediately.
Cardinal Compolinieri, fellow cardinals, there cannot and will not be any autopsy. It is quite simply both inappropriate and unprecedented.
Yes. Do not forget, in this forum, you are but one voice, Cardinal Theo. The body of the sacred congregation can make up its own mind as to what course of action to take on any matter and give you, Carmelengo, directions accordingly.
Thank you for reminding me, Your Eminence.
There was a great deal of rumor that he might be murdered. You will remember, Cardinal Vio, I myself warned you and Mr. Cheban about this less than 2 weeks ago.
Is this true?
Yes.
Then why wasn't I informed as your second in command?
You seemed rather preoccupied with other things, Cardinal Benelli. Anyway, it was something I felt quite capable of handling, along with Mr. Cheban.
And what did you do?
There was nothing we could do.
Oh,
His Holiness refused point blank to have an armed guard in the hospital.
Your Rivers, you have something to add?
Yes. I received an anonymous telephone call as soon as the death was announced, stating His Holiness had been murdered. I believe others here had similar calls. However, being one of the few members with an expert knowledge of the way the communists work, I am probably the only one who saw the call for what it truly was.
And what truly was it, Your Reverence?
Nothing less than a KGB plot to destabilize Mother Church.
In what way destabilize?
If the KGB spread the word, as they are, that His Holiness was poisoned by those nearest to him, holding an autopsy is a confirmation that we agree there may be some truth in the matter. If we agree to an autopsy, we signal to the world that we think he was murdered by somebody very close to him. We cannot give the Soviets that publicity call.
May I suggest the matter of whether there is an autopsy should be left for a later date when more cardinals are present?
Vote. The matter is carried. The subject of a possible autopsy will be on the agenda for tomorrow's meeting of the General Congregation.
But why was Vio so vehemently opposed to an autopsy?
Charitably. He didn't want to set a precedent.
And uncharitably?
He knew there was something to hide. That is the only conclusion I can come to. He brought medical reports to the next meeting of the congregation. By then there were 84 of us. And from the look on the faces of the American contingent, and Cody in particular, I saw if it came to a vote, those of us who had wanted an autopsy were not going to win.
I have the report from the three eminent medical experts whom I arranged to view the body on behalf of this congregation. Two say he died of a heart attack.
And the third?
He says that medically it's impossible to tell the cause of death by simply inspecting it. To be clinically positive, it would need an autopsy. My view is that as the other two are so positive, an autopsy is not required.
Cardinal Cody,
I have to say, I go along with Cardinal Veal. I don't know why we're wasting time on this stuff. If there was any hint of wrongdoing, it would be hunted out by the Vatican. Ergo, there can't be any wrongdoing. The most likely thing is that our colleague from Hungary is right. It's a commie plot. You want to let the Red Peril win? Go ahead and cut John Paul open and dig about a bit. Otherwise, let's get on with the business of electing a new pope, and my advice is we get one that lasts this time.
Let us then vote on the matter. All those in favor of an autopsy? Two. And those against? There will be no autopsy. The body of His Holiness will be moved into the Basilica of St. Peter's tonight. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
After the funeral, we went into conclave October the 14th. And once the swearing of the loyal oath was finished once more, Vio stated the first vote would take place the following morning.
Vio, I was hoping I might speak to you. Do you have a moment?
But of course. How may I help you?
Can I ask how you read the mood of our fellow cardinals?
Certainly. Steady is again favored with the courier cardinals. This time, I think he'd be elected.
And if he isn't?
Well, should he fall by the wayside for any reason? He will be replaced by Cardinal Ursi.
Him?
Is there a particular reason for asking?
Indeed, there is. I'm told Benelli and Felicia are both campaigning strongly and getting a lot of support on the simple platform of continuing the unfinished business left over by John Paul. And you and I both know what that means.
You will be removed from Chicago.
And you will be removed from the Vatican.
I guarantee you that if Siri and Ursi both drop out, then the curial vote will not go to Benelli or Felicia.
Who will they suggest as a stopgap?
I'm not sure yet.
Could be an opportune time for a non-Italian candidate.
Too early to decide that. See how the voting goes.
Cardinal Veal?
The papers have been collected and counted in the prescribed manner. I will call upon Cardinal Gantin to read the result of the first ballot.
Cardinal Siri, 25 votes. Cardinal Benelli, 20 votes.
I wasn't the only one to recognize that continuing John Paul's work at the Vatican was a vital necessity. In the first vote, both Benelli and Felice did surprisingly well. The second vote was even better.
Cardinal Benelli, 38 votes. Mm-hmm. Cardinal Felice, 32 votes. Cardinal Siri, 20 votes.
You could see the sense of shock on the faces of the Courier Cardinals. Siri was already definitely out of the running and with no chance of making a comeback. Benelli and Felice were starting to look so good. One of them, it seemed, was guaranteed to be elected. There was a hush as we waited for Gantin, the Black Cardinal of Benin, to read the result of the third vote.
Cardinal Benelli, 40 votes. Cardinal Felice, 32 votes. Cardinal Siri.
Vio stood with a sense of urgency.
Fellow cardinals, I suggest we take a break at this point to give ourselves the opportunity to contemplate and to pray to God for the wisdom to choose wisely. Yeah. Cardinals, we collect ourselves together. We meet in my room as rapidly as possible.
Yes.
Of course, rather than praying, this was a time for regrouping and canvassing. For my own part, I made a point of finding Benelli, who was surrounded by his supporters.
Cardinal Benelli.
Iago, good to see you. His late holiness said many complimentary things about you.
I just came over to say my prayers are with you.
It would appear that the prayers of many others are also with me. There are deep wrongs that must be righted. And God willing, those wrongs shall be righted.
This is no time to get new-headed. Benelli will be an American disaster.
Yeah, I like the guy. He's got a way with him.
He's got nothing with him. He wants to rule American diocesan funds from Rome. He wants to tell you what you can spend your parishioners' funds on and what you can't. He'll even insist that we pay to educate black kids in our districts, even if they're not Catholics.
You can't have that.
I tell you, the man is a disaster area.
Well, I don't know.
You owe me. I promise you, Karol Wojtyła will make a great pope, a great day for Poland. Get behind him with me, will you? And flush the idea of Benelli Damajan once and for all.
Cardinal König, I wouldn't even want the job if they offered it to me on a plate.
Cardinal Wojtyla, it is not what you want. It is what God wants.
Yes.
You already have a handful of votes, and that is just a beginning. This conclave still has a long way to go. Already I hear it whispered that you are the one they should be voting for.
If it is God's will, my son, you must take on the mantle.
Cardinal Wyszynski, I love you like a father, but you cannot know the burden you and König are asking me to bear.
We do know, Karol, and that is why we are asking you to carry it. Because we think you are the only one here who truly can.
Yeah. If it comes, you must seize the moment both for God and for Poland. It is what our beloved country needs.
What do you say?
God help me, but if it is his will and I am chosen, I will be pontiff.
But pray God it doesn't come to that.
I call upon Cardinal Gontijn to read the results of the religious ballot.
Cardinal Benelli, 60 votes.
A whisper immediately went round the room. Benelli was just 15 votes short of victory.
Cardinal Giovanni Colombo, 20 votes. Cardinal Wojtyła, 15 votes.
This would be a good moment to break for the day. We will reconvene at 8:30 tomorrow morning.
So what do you think, Iago?
As good as in the bag.
Don't you believe it? There's still a lot of time for plotting. Why do you think Vio called a halt so soon, rather than going to the next vote?
It seems to be... Well...
Colombo is adamant he will not continue to be a candidate. Says he's too old. He made sure it suffered. The whole room was aware of his stand.
Well, his votes won't go unblocked, Benelli, that's for sure. So we can probably afford to see how the first vote goes in the morning before doing anything drastic.
Do we have any other possible candidates?
No, but I do know that Benelli has attracted as many of Felici's votes as he's likely to.
I'm tired. It's been a long day. I'm going to bed. Your Eminences.
After the first vote tomorrow, I shall ensure there is a short break. Let us convene then.
The result of the fifth poll is Cardinal Benelli, 72 votes. Cardinal Wojtyła, 38 votes.
This was dynamite. Benelli was now within 3 votes of being Pope, and a lot of heads were about to roll.
We will now take another 15-minute break to pray and consult with God, and pray to him that we may soon come to a conclusion. Thank you for joining me in this short break. There is no time but to be absolutely frank. I believe if Benelli becomes Pope, there is not one of you who is safe in office.
He has the list.
Oh, yes, he has the list. And it is immensely dangerous not only for us, but the future direction of Mother Church.
It's true.
The list alleges that some of us, are members of the Masonic Lodge P2. Not true, of course, but Benelli does have John Paul's list. He was working on it with him the night before he died, deciding who should go and who should stay. I know you can all influence certain other cardinals. The message I would like you to take back to them is this. It will be a great loss if after over 400 years a non-Italian pope is to be at the helm. But I think if we are to survive the threatened struggle, it is the only answer.
You mean Wojtyła should win?
Cardinal Wojtyła must win. You now have to take that message back. Cody has told me that all the Americans and most of the South Americans will be voting for him in the next round. Our votes will be added to that tally. I advise all who moved their votes from Felici to Benelli now to change to Wojtyła. Once Benelli supports us to fall, he will be done for. Then it is simply a question of time. But his support must be destroyed.
Again, the break was much longer than the stated 15 minutes. I was approached
twice.
Yes, about changing my allegiance, and I declined. I prayed Benelli would win. Then came the bad news.
The result of the sixth poll is Cardinal Benelli, 56 votes. Cardinal Wojtyła, 54 votes.
I watched Benelli's face as the vote was announced. A cross between amazement and despair. It had been in the bag. How could it have slipped away so quickly? But it had gone. Once your support slips from 72, a mere 3 short of victory, down to 56, you know you are all but done for, and so it proved in the next vote.
The result of the 7th poll is Cardinal Wojtyła, 70 votes. Cardinal Benelli, 40 votes.
Benelli was now in second place. His chance of being Pope and righting all the appalling wrongs had gone. His dream of balancing the books for the wasted death of a good man was just so much ashes. The final vote confirmed it.
Cardinal Wojtyła, 102 votes.
The Sistine Chapel was filled with cheering and clapping cardinals once more. We had a pope. And for the first time in the history of the Roman Catholic Church, it was a Polish pope at the helm.
Cardinal Karol Wojtyła, you have been elected by your fellow cardinals to be Supreme Pontiff. Do you accept?
With the knowledge that this is what God has decided, and sure of the help of his Son Jesus Christ and Mary, his Blessed Mother, in all humility, I accept.
Amen. And by what name do you wish to be known?
John Paul II.
It was then I opened the first envelope that Jacqueline de Vere had given me.
What did it say?
It said, Cardinal Karol Wojtyła will win with between 90 and 105 votes. The remaining votes will go to either Cardinal Benelli or Cardinal Felici, depending on who is still in the race.
And the second letter?
I didn't open that straight away. I wanted to think through for myself what would be the major change. The first pope to be elected from a communist country. It was constantly on my mind during the coming days leading up to John Paul's coronation. I imagine it would in some way boost the hope of achieving some sort of victory against their oppressors in Poland, but nothing much more. How wrong can one be?
So what was the prediction in the second envelope?
As promised, it came in two parts. The first told how they had come to their conclusions. Having discovered, as requested, who would be the next pope if John Paul was to die, they had researched all the frontrunners from the first election, Sidi, Ursi, Manelli, Felici, Pignedoli, and put their names in turn through the computer as if each of them had become pope. They then asked the same question. Who would be the next pope if they died? And then went on to discover the probable result of the second conclave. In each case, the same name came up.
Cardinal Wojtyła?
Correct. Cardinal Karol Wojtyła. In every case, providing the Pope died early and the conclave was held soon after. Any longer than 2 months in total, and the outcome became progressively harder to predict. Wounds would heal. The Curial Cardinals would have time to get their act back together and get behind their own favored candidate.
How about the second sheet?
There. They explored what would be the political consequences of having a pope from behind the Iron Curtain in power. I confess, as I read it, I laughed out loud.
Why?
It was so extreme. A 20-year impossible dream. It said there would be a domino effect. By the end of the 20-year period, Poland would be free of its communist yoke. South Africa would have discarded apartheid and have a black leader. Communism would become a spent force and be replaced by a system not unlike Western capitalism. In the former Soviet Empire, old ethnic grievances would float to the surface, and small local wars would break out, eventually spreading worldwide. These would become commonplace, creating international chaos. America would then quickly step forward to joyfully embrace the role of policeman to 3/4 of the world. In China, communism would be shaken to its roots, but would survive. Jacqueline de Vere and her partner didn't mention a young man in Tiananmen Square with his finger in the muzzle of a tank to stop it rolling, but she came close. As I say, I laughed at the time. But of course I don't laugh anymore. It's all come true, as predicted.
All because the present pope was elected?
All because an unimportant pope was murdered. But it wasn't personal. It was simply politics.
Here, let me in.
You see, they said quite categorically that they believed that whichever of the Italian cardinals had been elected, they would have died. But it wasn't personal.
So who did it? You've given me a fine selection of suspects to look into, but who do you think actually did it?
None of them. I don't even think it's an individual we're looking for. We'll never know the actual person. He was contracted, visited, did the job, no doubt collected his fee, and slipped back into the anonymity of the sewer, never to be seen again.
So, if it's not an individual, what are you looking for?
The group, the body, who gained the most politically. Who would you think?
Well, certainly not the communists. They've paid a high price over the last 18 years or so for Wojtyła being elected. Yeah, also, they wouldn't have been so anxious to get the autopsy underway if they knew they'd poisoned him. They wanted to expose another organization.
True. If the Curial Italians discovered that their man had been murdered, Wojtyła's chances of becoming pope would have been dead on the ground.
So which group did it? Who benefited most? You mentioned the CIA earlier. Do you have them in the picture?
I feel they're there somewhere. Yes. In one dark little corner of that vast organization, a corner where the light never reaches and evil can flourish. I believe 18 years ago, a group of like-minded people came together and plotted and planned the death of a pope for what they believed would be for their country's good. And they have succeeded beyond their wildest dreams. They know they have got away with it. I have waited until every last one of the prophecies has come true before speaking out. And now, through you, I want the world to know the truth of what happened and to make sure they don't get away with it. What you write will stun the world and right a terrible wrong. Will you take on the task?
No, I'm afraid not. My job is to ensure the world doesn't get to hear about it.
What?
Mind you, fascinating how close Jacqueline de Vere and her partner got to the truth.
I intend to write to her.
No point. She's dead. They're both dead. Terrible accident. Car crash.
No, when?
Same day, 18 years ago, when you went into conclave. She died, but unfortunately we didn't get the two letters we knew she'd written on the outcome of the conclave.
We?
The same small team of like-minded men who gathered together and plotted all those years ago. The small team who are now responsible for keeping the world in the dark on this little matter.
But you're a writer, surely.
Well, the man you wrote to never got your letter.
But that's ridiculous. It was posted.
And intercepted. The same as all your mail has been for the last 18 years. And your telephone. No matter where you were in the world, we always knew who you were writing to and who you were talking to.
But why?
The subject of the death of John Paul has been examined in minute detail. Films, books by the dozen, TV discussions by the score. Nobody got even vaguely near the truth. If you two had come to the same conclusions tonight, if you had proved you were harmless, you would now be safe, and I should be politely making my excuses and leaving. But you didn't take that route. And now, Your Eminence, you have to be stopped.
Stopped?
Oh, you were right at the very outset. Knowing what you know has put your life in more than peril. There have been others before you. Leo got very close to the truth and had to die peacefully in his sleep because of it. Roberto Calvi, when he realized, thought he had discovered the perfect tool to blackmail his way out of his financial troubles and regain his fortune.
We hanged him on the Blackfriars Bridge in London.
You?
Just one of the small team of like-minded men. He was very heavy. Michele Sindona was in prison, about to reveal all. In his case, the contract was only $5,000, but he died of poison the day the contract was issued. Licio Gelli is in hiding and much too frightened to speak, so he's safe. For now. Oh, one thing you will be pleased to know. The little Italian ferret who actually carried out the contract died the same day.
Why are you telling me all this? Why are you making up these stories to frighten me?
Not stories, Your Eminence. Facts. Oh, by the way, one thing you were wrong about. John Paul wasn't poisoned. He was suffocated. He was suffocated with a small cushion. Probably no larger than this one. It was the biggest political gamble the world has ever known, Your Eminence. We told nobody. We just did it covertly. If word had got out, 1 million Catholics would be paying for our blood. But if a good enough team was put together, worldwide to police the matter, and every lead was followed up, and every threat of revelation was exterminated as soon as it arose, the world would never know the real truth. And what a world we would then have at our disposal. The communist threat gone forever, and we would be top dogs to the end of time. Free to police the world and make it fit for nice folk like us to live in. I think he's a little unwell. Too much talking. Oh, I'm sorry. I do have to go. Another appointment.
Yes, yes, of course.
Your Eminence?
Your Eminence?
In Death of an Unimportant Pope, Cardinal Iago was played by Geoffrey Whitehead, Albino Luciani, Bernard Hepton, Pope John Paul II, Clifford Rose, Cardinal Vio, Hugh Dixon, and Cardinal Umberto, Bert Caesar. Bob Sherman played Cardinal Marcinkus, John Hartley, Cardinal Cody, Keith Drinkle, the writer, Stephen Thorne, Benelli, and Johan Meredith, Siri. Sister Vincenza was played by Pauline Letts, Cardinal Confalonieri, Charles Simon, Jacqueline Devere, Colleen Prendergast, Baggio and Sheban, Kim Wall, Lorenzi and the Man in the Confessional, Robert Harper, McGee, Christopher Scott, Calvi and Koenig, Sean Baker, and Nicodem and Felici, David March. Death of an Unimportant Pope was written by Wally K. Daly and directed by Martin Jenkins.